Psalm 32. Now, this is David's thoughts after he's been told that he's been forgiven for his sin with Bathsheba. You remember that he just sees the woman next door in the garden and he decides that he wants her for his wife. He takes her and he gets her husband murdered, who's one of his most faithful, loyal soldiers. So it's pretty awful, and really he deserved to die for that. He says elsewhere there was no sacrifice that he could offer to get forgiveness under the law of Moses. He had to die. But God forgave him, and God counted him righteous and blessed him. So he says, blessed is he, and he refers to himself, blessed is he whose iniquity is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit. Well, in the New Testament, that's quoted with a slight change. David says, blessed are they. Blessed are they, and he means all of us, to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. So then, we are counted as if we're righteous, even though we're not. We're counted as if we're righteous, even though we're sinners. And David, in that sense, is every man. That we all really urgently need to recognize that we have sinned and we should die. And we're only saved from that by God's grace. So David is every man. When I kept silence, he said, that is before the baby died and before he was confronted by Nathan the prophet, when he refused to accept his sin, when I kept silence, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. Day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was dried up as the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you. I didn't hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to Yahweh, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this, let each one who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found. So that shows that David himself understood that his sin was to be the, as it were, the pattern for all of us to sin and recognize that sin and be forgiven. And he says, everyone who's godly will pray just as David did. And that's why in Romans, as I say, David quotes these words about all of us. Surely, when the great waters overflow, they shall not reach to him. You are my hiding place. You will preserve me from trouble. You will surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you shall go. I will advise you with my eye upon you. Don't be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, who are controlled by bit and bridle, or else they won't come near to you. So he's saying, look, follow my example, and I want to teach you from what I've learned that it shouldn't be a case of, oh, well, God's given us these commands, oh, I better do them, like you put a bit in the mouth of a horse to force it this way or that way. He's saying that didn't work with me. He's saying that what does work is realizing immediately your sinfulness and being grateful and guided by God's grace. Many sorrows come to the wicked, but grace will surround him who trusts in Yahweh. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad in him, you righteous. Shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. Well, the uprightness in heart doesn't mean that you don't sin because David sinned. It means trusting in God and in his grace.